Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy grace today. We thank Thee for the light of the glorious gospel of Christ that shines into the hearts of men and brings and scatters the darkness, and that Christ may come in to dwell there eternally. We thank Thee for our salvation this morning. Thank Thee, Lord, for Jesus Christ, Thy Son, who gave Himself a ransom for many. And we come this morning thanking Thee for Your grace today, for Thy love that overshadows us. Oh, Thy banner of love. Oh, Thy grace that we find sufficient. Oh, Thy goodness and Thy mercy that follows us all the days of our lives. And our Father, we come asking Thee to bless us in this hour. We thank Thee for Thy eternal Word. Bless Thy Word, our Father. Send it home to hearts in much power and with much assurance. And may the Holy Spirit do His work in our midst. And we do come bringing the sick to You, our Lord. Many who are sick that we hear, many of our dear friends, our loved ones. There's Brother Marino, our Father, who injured his shoulder. We come asking Thee to bless him. Thank You for him, his wife, and that whole family. Our Father, their love for us and our love for them, bless him and heal him, if it could be Thy will at this time. Just give him strength, strength and grace to look to You and to trust Thee in these moments. And our Lord, we ask Thee for others. Mrs. Coley, we thank You for her. Bless her and bless her testimony as she gives her testimony to her children. You bless her. And Father, we rest in Your hands, and her husband and all those children. We pray for others in our midst that we can't think of the present time. We thank You for having Brother Vinette back with us this morning. How You're taking care of him and sending him back here. Father, bless him. Bless his family, his wife, and children. And we ask Thee now to lead us through this broadcast and give us all such a blessing this day. Oh, may Thy Word find its place, its lodging in our hearts. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. Thank You. Now let's turn to number 481, number 481, where the gates swing out with never. gates will swing open, and they'll stay open. You know what's wonderful about that city that I'm going to, you're saved, you're going to, the gates of that city shall never be closed, always open. We don't have to worry about thieves and criminals entering in. No, praise the Lord. We live with them here by the grace of God, but over yonder, no more. What a place of heaven. I wonder if you're going there. Do you know the Lord? Do you know Christ is your Lord and Savior? Is He your life, your hope, your strong refuge, your strength? The Lord Jesus Christ, then if you know Him, then you'll be there. It's good to see this crowd here this morning. And I praise Him that He's moving in our midst. That's a gracious message this morning, travailing for souls. Let's pray. Let us pray. Let us look to the Lord. And it'll cost us something. Cost us something to get on our knees and pray unto the Lord for an awakening, for the souls of sinners. It'll cost you and I much, travailing for the souls of men. Now let's sing number 57, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. If you're able to stand, come on and stand with us. Number 57, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Everybody sing. Thank you. Be seated. I want to read to you at this time an acknowledgement of thanks from the family of Brother Bozart and the girls. Your kindness was appreciated more than words can say. My dear friends, I wish to thank each and every one of you for your love, your kindness, how you stood with me, with yourself, the food sent in the hours of my deep grief at the loss of my dear wife. Signed, James Bozarth and girls. Well, we love you. Praying for you. Our hearts. You're in our hearts. And let's continue to pray for them. Well, we never know. The deep grief and the sadness that's there when we lose our mates. Never know unless it happens to you and I. I often thought how I would react in those hours. You know, it's something you cannot, it's hard to enter into another's grief. It is. Can't describe it. And yet our blessed Lord was able to enter into every individual's grief and sorrow. At the tomb of Lazarus, he wept. Jesus wept. He's able to be felt with the feeling of our infirmities, no matter what they are. He was in all points tempted, as we are, yet without sin. And he is able to succor them that are tempted. Praise the Lord. Now I've asked the choir to sing for us, He Died for Me. And I want you to listen as they sing this number. He died for me. Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you. Yes, old John Newton. He died for me. We can't help but praise the Lord after He saves you. There's so much to praise Him for. So much to thank Him for. You will forever and eternally praise God for salvation in Christ. It's good to see you here this morning. The Lord's with us. His blessings are upon us. And I just oh that every one of our hearts would be melted and broken. The stony heart laid aside, and a heart of flesh will be given to everyone. I want us to turn to Jeremiah. There's one verse of scripture here in Jeremiah, the 13th chapter. The 13th chapter of Jeremiah, and the 13th through the 23rd, the 13:23, the 23rd verse. One scripture. Listen to the word of God. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. I want to read again. Listen to the words of God. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Now, Sunday before last, I brought a message entitled, Are You Dead or Alive? And last Lord's Day, brought a message entitled, You Must Be Born Again. And today, I want to draw your attention to how sinners are made alive. Now that's the title of the message today. How sinners are made alive. And by God's help, I will set before you the full provision that is made for dead souls from the Word of God. And I know that we're used to hearing messages, and perhaps some of the same messages over and over again, and yet I wonder how many messages have registered with us. And that's the reason why the Word of God must be repeated over and over again, lest we forget. In this day of modernism, to where they pawn off on the people that all you have to do is just make a decision for Christ and you're saved. Or join the church and be baptized and go out and do your best and do good works and you'll go to heaven. Well, that's contrary to the teaching of God's Word. And so this morning, I'm going to try to help to clear up some of these things in our hearts and minds. The Lord has cleared them up in my heart, and I hope they'll be cleared in yours. There's one thing that's very clear, and I want everyone to listen this morning, here and out in Radio Land. In order for this change to take place in our lives, in order to be made a new creation in Christ Jesus, we cannot work this mighty change in ourselves. You cannot do it. As that scripture I just read, listen, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Well, if it were possible that the Ethiopian could change his skin, all right, then it would be possible for you to save yourself. But you can't. And the Ethiopian cannot change his skin, can he? You can't do it. And just like the leopard, can he take away the spots? No, they're there. The leopard will always have his spots. And so, let's look at it. We have no strength or power to do it in ourselves. Many will call me up, will talk with me, say, Pastor, how can it be? What can I do? Well, when you ask a question like that, I suppose, I take it on the supposition that you found out you can't do it. Then I must tell you to look to the Lord. Now, that's a hard thing for sinners to do, is to look to the Lord. A sinner will look everywhere else and go everywhere else and seek out every preacher or church, but will never look to the Lord. If you would have done that a long time ago, you would have been saved. Because he says, look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For I am God, and beside me there is none else. Now, where you got to look? You have to look to Christ. Look and live. It must be out of yourself, out of any human instrumentality. You've just got to look to Christ. Now, this is set forth in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. If you want to turn with us, everybody, in your Bible, let's read scriptures this morning. The 37th chapter, beginning with the first verse. You know the story about the dead bones, the vision of the valley of dry bones. Let's look at it. And let's read this discourse here. God had with Ezekiel. The beginning with the first verse of Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. Now listen to the words. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And let me echo that this morning. O ye dry bones, you dead sinners, cry unto the Lord, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. No maybe about it. When the breath of God is breathed into you, ye shall live. The breath of eternal life, ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin was covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Oh, yes, it's my prayer, O blessed Holy Spirit. Breathe upon these souls that are dead, and they will live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out. Come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Yes, you know, when God saves a sinner, you're going to know that God did it. That's right. When he saves you, you'll know that God did it. And you'll praise him and rejoice in him. Now, let's go just a little further. We may change our ways, but we cannot change our hearts. And how many have mended their ways, changed their ways, and thinking that will do, that will bring about the new birth, the spiritual birth, but it'll never take place. God tells us in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, and the 26th verse, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Now, we may take up a new way, and perhaps we might change denominations, but you cannot give yourself a new nature. How many change from one church to the other? Swap churches, you might say, but still not contented, not satisfied. That doesn't satisfy. It's just like one time, when I was a Roman Catholic, I changed to Baptist denomination. But that didn't satisfy me. I praise God that he did not let it satisfy me just to belong to a denomination, to the Baptist religion. But I praise God he awakened me back in 1952 and showed me I was a lost Baptist. And now I'm a saved Baptist. But I do not glory in being a Baptist, but I glory in being in the Lord. And that's the most important. How many glory in their denominations? How many glory that they belong to this church or that church? But do you glory in the Lord? Glory in Him, Jehovah God. Just because you're a Baptist is no sign you're saved. Unless you've been brought to repentance, redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot say that you are saved. So we may make considerable reforms and alterations. We may lay aside many outward bad habits, which is commendable, and begin to do many outward duties. But we cannot create a new principle within us. You and I are helpless to create a new life in us, a new birth, or give unto ourselves a new nature. You can't do it. That's outside of yourself. And I hope you realize that. And how many have tried to make themselves better, suitable, a fit object of mercy before the Lord, and they have failed because they haven't come the way of the Lord, by the new and the living way, by the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot bring something out of nothing, as our text reminds us. Listen, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Now, note another thing here. No man can work this mighty change in us. Ministers may preach to us, may preach the word, bring God's message, and pray for us, but they cannot bestow spiritual life. I can pray for you and labor with you and exhort you, bring God's message, but I cannot give you eternal life in Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Preachers may bring in regularity in the place of disorder. And that's good. We look for that. And outward decency in the place of open sin. But they cannot go below the surface. They cannot reach the heart. God says, I searched the reins of the heart. I searched the heart. They cannot reach the heart. Paul may plant and Apollos water, but God alone can give the increase. It is God's power exerting itself in our lives that causes faith to strike root and spring up and bring forth fruit. In other words, ministers can plant the seed, water it, but God alone can give it life. That's right. Let's remember that. We can plant the seed and another water it, but God alone can give it life. Remember that? God alone. God alone can give you life. Oh, may that sink into your heart, awaken sinner. God alone can give you life. God alone knows the heart. I'm a minister of the Lord. I can bring you His message. I can plant. I can water. But yet it's God that giveth the increase. It's God that searcheth the heart. It's God that gives you a new heart, who gives you a new heart, a new life, a new nature, a new righteousness. Takes away that filthy righteousness and replaces it with the righteousness of Christ. He alone can redeem you with His precious blood. He alone can convict you of your sin. That's right. God Himself. Who then can make a dead soul alive? No one can do it but God. You read in John, the Gospel of John, and the first chapter, the 11th through the 13th verses. Let me read them to you. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Salvation is of the Lord. He only who formed the world out of nothing in the day of creation can make man a new creature. He only who formed man out of the dust and gave life to his body can ever give eternal life. And He does it by the Holy Spirit and His power. Now I wanted to turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John and the 5th chapter. The 5th chapter. Let's begin reading with the 19th verse. The 5th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with the 19th verse. Listen. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word, and believeth on Him that sent Me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father had life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and had given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. And then turning to the 6th chapter of John, 6:37, All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. Then the 44th verse. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then the 47th verse. Listen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Then the 63rd verse. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Get it now? It is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life. Now, I've read you some scriptures to show you that salvation is of the Lord. Is of the Lord. And that salvation is outside of yourself. And you must look to the Lord to be saved. You must behold Him. I'm afraid there are too many things you're allowed to come between you and the Lord to where you cannot see the Lord by faith. You cannot behold Him by faith. There's too many things that blurs your sight. You can't see. That must be removed, my friends, whatever it might be. You might put your job in the way. Maybe gain. Always looking for gain. Or excuses. You must, like I read to you the other time, excuses that some people make. They have to marry a wife. They have to tend to a farm. They've got to buy this land. They've got to make this great transaction. And yet you're not saved. How in the wide world can you behold the Son of God? How can you behold the Lord Jesus by faith if you allow all of these things to come between you and the Lord? You just can't do it. All right? I set this book up before me this morning. I can't see you. I can't behold you. I can't look upon you. But take that out of the way, and I can see you. Now, what is keeping you from looking to Christ and beholding the Lamb of God? What has blocked your view? You allow yourself to get many fixes until it exerts your power, your thinking, your vision, you might say. Your thoughts tires you so much until you cannot attend properly the Word of God or the place of worship or the prayer service, or you cannot give yourself to seeking the Lord. Allowing things to come between you and the Lord. Oh, can you say, nothing between my soul and the Savior? Is there anything between you and the Lord? Take it out of the way. Remove it. It's not worth it. You might become a pauper, but my friends, it's not worth it. Wealth, whatever it might be, that keeps you from beholding the Lamb of God. Take it out of the way. Remove it. It's not worth it. I'd rather be a pauper, a beggar, and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and beholding Him and loving Him and Him loving me. I'd rather have all of that than to have the whole world and not have Christ. But what would it gain you if you had the whole world and not have Christ? Suppose you go on and buy homes and real estates and save money in the bank. And suppose you die. What have you gained if you don't have Christ? What's between you and the Lord? Could it be your husband or your children or your wife? Oh, my friends, the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ alone is sufficient to save dead sinners. Oh, I know I have dead sinners before me here and out in Radio Land. And in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, let me read a portion here to you. 2 Corinthians 4, listen to the Word of God. Listen, beginning with the 3rd verse, 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Listen, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan. Remember that, it's Satan. In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. My friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior of sinners. He is a complete Savior. And He who is the head of the church has no dead members in it. If you're saved, you are a live member of the church of the living God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are alive. That's right. God raised you from the dead. You were dead in trespasses and sins, and He's quickened you, made you alive. And so, in the church of the living God, there's no dead members. All believers are not only justified and pardoned, but quickened together with Him and made partakers of His resurrection. Now, the Holy Spirit raises the dead sinner. The Holy Spirit raises the sinner from death to life. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to raise you from death unto life. It's not the work of a minister, of a deacon or a layman. That's not the work of a missionary. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit to raise dead sinners to life. The Holy Spirit then, after He saves you, then lives in the believer, keeps him until the day of redemption. Christ is the appointed fountain of all spiritual life, and the Holy Spirit the appointed agent who conveys that life, eternal life, to our souls. Over in John, the 16th chapter, let me read this portion to you. It's in John. You want to turn there? All right. You want to hold it? I'll read it to you. John 16, beginning with the 7th verse. Listen to the Word of God. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now that word reprove means convict. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to convict sinners of their sins. That's not the work of the preacher. I cannot convict you. The Holy Spirit can, and He does. He is the agent. He seeks out God's people and begins to deal with their hearts, brings them to salvation in Christ. Listen, when He is come, the Holy Spirit, He will reprove or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now why? Because of sin, they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Listen, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Now, who is it?
the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides us into all truth. You see, awakened sinner, how helpless you are and how dependent you are on the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. That's right. Listen, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He will glorify Christ. He'll not glorify himself, but he will glorify Christ. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now that's the work of the Holy Spirit, salvation. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Sinner, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would have life, come to him. His promise is, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And that's in John 6:37. All the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, to who? To Christ. Not to the preacher, not to the church, not to the layman, not to your wife, not to your husband, but all that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, you go to the church, and the church is not preaching the truth. They might receive you for a while, but if they don't like you well enough, they'll cast you out, throw you out. But not the Lord. You come to Christ, he'll not cast you out. Praise the Lord. He never cast me out. I came to him and took him at his word. And he gave me grace to come and to believe and to accept and to go away rejoicing, praising him. That's right. The moment the dead man touched the body of Elisha, he revived and stood upon his feet. You'll find that in 2 Kings, the 13th chapter. Took a dead man's body and threw it in the tomb of Elisha. And the moment that that dead man's body touched the body of Elisha, he sprung up to life. The moment you lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, you become alive unto God. Remember that. As well as forgiven of all your trespasses. That takes place in a moment. So therefore, sinner, come to Christ, and your soul shall live. As that woman touched the hem of the garment, and she was healed of her disease. And so you come to Christ and touch him by faith. Look to him and behold him by faith, and you shall live. I don't know how much more clearer I could make it this morning. And then how many will go away hanging their heads in doubt and fear and unbelief? I never despair of anyone being saved. Whatever he may have been in former days, I certainly don't. Do you? You and I know how great the change is from death to life. We know the hardness, the prejudices, the desperate sinfulness of the natural heart of man. I know that. I know my own heart. And we also know how God the Father made this beautiful and well-ordered world out of nothing, don't we? To think of the power of God, huh? Now, we remember when the voice of the Lord Jesus reached Lazarus, when dead for 4 days, and recalled him even from the grave after he stinketh. Brethren, when we recall these things, we never need despair. Those among us in this tabernacle and out in radio land who now seem most utterly dead in sins may yet be raised and walk before God in newness of life. Remember the question the Lord put to Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Remember the words uttered by Paul in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And then in Hebrews, the 7th chapter and the 25th verse, it tells us there, wherefore he is able to save unto the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing that he make it intercession for them, huh? The Lord Jesus turns away no man because of his vileness, because of his wickedness, his ungodliness. The Lord Jesus turns away no man, no one. Did you know that? You have no excuse for not coming to Christ and being saved. Your sins should be no cause to keep you away. He passes by no one because his sins are scarlet. No matter if your sins are scarlet. Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, I would I had another half hour here. I'd like to finish this. Look like our time has gotten away. You people have listened. The Lord's witness. And we must leave in radio land. And the rest, I'm going to say just a little bit more, on put it on tape. And I'm going to finish it next Sunday, or next time I preach. And but you hear us next Sunday morning from 7 till 8 over the station you're now listening to for the Voice of Truth broadcast. And until that time, this is Pastor Gale saying goodbye and God bless you. Yes, though your sins be as scarlet. Listen, sinner. Listen, awakened sinner. I'm speaking to you. I'm talking to you. Listen, you have no excuse. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isn't that true? Isn't that so? That's right. That's right. And I'm going to leave it right there. Because I have some more to say, and I can't get through with it today. But I will continue, add to this for next time. Now you listen this morning, and I hope that I helped you to understand God's way of salvation, how the Lord saves a sinner, some manner of it, maybe not every point. And I know you've listened to many gracious messages by our late pastor and the way God saves a sinner. Keep reading them. If you're not saved, keep reading them if you are saved. And God bless these words to each and every heart this morning. Good to see you folks here. Some people I've never met, never seen. But you're welcome anytime to come into our midst. Like I said this morning, the doors of this tabernacle are open for everyone and everybody. Like I was speaking to someone yesterday, she told me, she said, you know, I'm going to have my mother and others to bring my baby up to church. I want you to see him. I said, why don't you come? And her husband was standing nearby. I said, why don't both of you come? You're welcome. And they said, you know, I think we will. So I'm looking for them. The Lord is working in our midst. And invite sinners to come, will you? The Lord says, go by the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Beg them to come. Will you do that? Will you be a missionary of your own and go out yonder and ask your loved ones to come? Daddy, I haven't seen your church in a long time. Won't you come with me to church this morning? Or the mother may say, may say of the mother, the child saying to the mother, mother, you haven't been to church for quite a while. What's happened? You used to go for quite often, but now you don't go anymore. And that grieves me, you know. When I see the interest little children have attending church, the Sunday school classes, and to see the parents stay home, or perhaps the parents might not come, they keep the children home with them, and look what you've missed, or what you've done. Oh, let's play gently with those young hearts. Give them an opportunity to hear the gospel, to hear the message. I believe the Lord is dealing with some of your hearts. How many of you want to be saved? Has this message meant anything to you this morning? Stand at your feet. You want to be saved. You truly want to be saved. Will you seek the Lord? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Will you seek the Lord while He may be found? Call upon Him while He's near. Cry unto Him. Will you do that? Let's all stand. All stand. Thank you. God bless you. God save you for Christ's sake. Brother.